The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We are a passionate show that will help you to live younger. I'm here. Joe Galewski isn't with us this week, but Bridget is. Say hello, Bridge.
Hello.
And you've got your favorite stories of the week. I have my favorite. At half past the hour, we have the tick guy. That's what he's known as. So if any of your questions about ticks, Lyme disease, or any of the other things associated with deer ticks, we'll learn how to take them off, why they don't go away in winter, where they hide in winter, so that you can avoid those hiding places, and how to avoid them every day. If you want to send us an email and ask a question, it's udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. You want to call live, it's 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. You can say hello to the engineer Sonar on the way to talking to us as well. So his name is Sonar. Best stories of the week, in my mind, we're going to do a first segment with the Odd Omegas, our Odd Omega segment, we have two great Odd Omega stories this week, and then we'll also do a Well Beyond Wellness story. But Bridget, first, what's your favorite story of the week?
My favorite story of the week is about a survey that was done in women over the age of 50.
And what did it find? You can just tease it. You don't have to give the full story.
Okay, so the first thing that they found was that only 12% of women over the age of 50...
were, and we'll stop right there. Okay, so only 12% of women over the age of 50 were something, and we'll find out in a few seconds. First, I'm going to do the Odd Omega segment. This is the first one. This was fish oil and rheumatoid arthritis. Now, there are a lot of people, if you go to an arthritis clinic, are taking omega-3s. So this is the Odd Omega segment. Omega-3 is an Odd Omega. And 3, 5, 7, and 9 are the Odd Omegas. Interestingly enough, 5, 7, and 9 are Odd Omegas. 3, 5, 7, and 9 are odd numbers. So this is the, and what this study did was say, we're going to randomly allocate people with early rheumatoid arthritis to either a large dose, 4.4 grams of omega-3 a day, or a small dose, 0.4 grams, or 400 milligrams of omega-3 a day, and see what happens. Well, the interesting thing is that only, this is amazing, at the end of a year, that most of the people on the higher dose were able to wean off the NSAIDs and didn't have to go on the more serious medications. And very few of the people on the lower dose. So higher dose Odd Omega 3 seemed to decrease arthritis and did it in a systematic fashion in this, if you will, randomized controlled study. So this is one of the few studies we've seen on that is randomized and controlled in rheumatoid arthritis. We also think it's probably beneficial for osteoarthritis, but we don't have good enough data for that. The other Odd Omega story, if you will, for this Odd Omega segment, is one on reading skills, but we won't talk fully about that now because I want to go to another story, which is higher glucose levels are associated with lower memory and reduced hippocampal size. There's only one organ in the body that size matters, and that's your hippocampus. That's an area inside your brain where all memory is produced. And it turns out that the more blood sugar, the higher your blood sugar, and this was in normal people, so they looked at the three-month value for blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, and in the three-month value of blood sugar, it turned out that the lower the three-month level of blood sugar, the larger, that is, the bigger the hippocampal neurons were, and the less memory loss in people over the age of 60. So this is really important. Not eating simple sugars, food with added sugar or simple sugars, food with added syrups or simple syrups, and food that is simple carbohydrates. How do you find those? Well, you look on the label. If one of the first five ingredients is a sugar, is a syrup, or is a simple carbohydrate, that is, it doesn't say 100% whole grain, then don't eat it, because those raise your blood sugar too fast, and raising your blood sugar is what causes this memory deficit and a decrease in the size of your hippocampal neurons.
And the crazy thing that I just want to add about the study that I found the coolest is that the people that they studied didn't even have diabetes or prediabetes. So I think that sometimes people assume because they're maybe a normal body weight or because they don't have prediabetes, that since their sugar levels are normal, that this was in a group, this association was found in people that would be what we consider very healthy.
By the way, we normally, that's exactly right. That's the important point. This is a group that wasn't diabetic.
Right.
These are people who had normal, relatively normal blood sugars, but keeping it low normal was a trick to not having memory deficit and not shrinking their hippocampus.
Which is crazy. They excluded people that even had prediabetes.
Right. So that's an important, that even shows how good the study was, if you will. By the way, I think I told people they could email us at udocs@gmail.com. So I've got to get that up and see if anyone is emailing us. Usually we do. We haven't gotten any emails yet, but udocs@gmail.com, or call us at 877-711-5211. At the half past hour is the tick guy. That is Dr. Tom Mather. He is Tick Encounter Resource Center Director and researches tick ecology, area-wide tick control strategies, tick bite protection, tick-borne disease prevention, and his research and other programs have made him the number one tick and Lyme expert probably in the world, certainly in the United States. I don't know if ticks go worldwide. We'll have to ask him that question. You're welcome to ask him any question as well. That is, you can call us at 877-711-5211 or on email at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, to ask more questions about ticks. I don't know if they do go worldwide.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Now, you were saying just 12% of women over 50 are
satisfied with their bodies. They looked at over 1,500 women that were over the age of 50 and asked whether they were satisfied with their size and shape. And only 12% reported that they were satisfied with their weight, which is the first thing that's a little concerning. So
88%, the vast majority, it's almost like Congress, you know, only 12% like Congress.
Exactly.
So anyway, so 88% weren't happy. And was it, what weren't they happy with? Did they inquire?
Okay, so yeah, then they started to look at what the people, what the women who were satisfied with their bodies were doing compared to what the women who weren't satisfied with their bodies. So the first thing that was noted is that the women who were satisfied with their bodies had reported a lower BMI, body mass index. It was an average of about 21.4 compared to the 88% of women who reported not being satisfied. They had a higher BMI at 28.3.
But the 28.3 isn't what we call obese. We call obese over 30. So some of them were in the obese range, but presumably a whole bunch were in the normal range.
Right, that's true.
And the others were really thin. 21.5 is really thin.
Yeah. And then they looked at whether they exercised or dieted. So what is the most interesting? So both groups reported exercising. The women who were satisfied reported more exercise per week. They had,
and not just a little more, a lot more, right?
Two more hours per week than the woman who said that they disliked their bodies.
What was amazing is all 100% of these women exercised 3 or more hours per week, which is really very high.
Right. Okay, so then additionally, which I think is the craziest part, is that, but
additionally, and what is the craziest part for when we come back? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the top medical news stories of the week. At the bottom of the hour, the tick guy. We also have a real age tip of the week. How much protein should you eat?
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And we have the tick guy. That's right, the world's expert on ticks. Dr. Tom Mather is coming live with us at 1:30. And we already have about 6 questions on our email line for him. Email at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. You can ask us any question on anything in medicine or any of the stories. Bridget's here to answer them, and I'm here to fill in as well. udocs@gmail.com or 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. Sonar gets lonesome when you don't call in. So we said 12%, we left with 12% of women were happy with their bodies. They had basically had, were thinner than, in fact, the national average.
Mm-hmm.
The national we consider healthy between 21 and 25, but really 23, 24, and 25. That's BMI. You can go on, you just put BMI in your Google and it'll go on, or go to ShareCare.com, ShareCare.com, and put in BMI, or UBeauty.com and put in BMI, and both will get you a BMI calculator. You need to know your height and weight, weight in pounds, buck naked as we would say, height the same way, and it'll calculate your BMI. Bridget, what's your BMI?
It's about 22 to 23.
22 to 23. Okay, so this story
said... What's your BMI?
24.2.
I should probably find out what mine is exactly.
Now, tell me what the story said. So the women who had BMIs of 28 weren't very happy with it.
Right.
And what weren't they happy with?
Well, they weren't happy with their shape and their size. And then actually women that reported being satisfied with their size and shape reported in a separate question that 50% of those women, they reported not liking their stomach or face. So even the 12% that were satisfied still had some kind of issue with their body. The big difference between the two groups is that 10% of the women that were satisfied with their body said that they have tried dieting in the past 5 years, but 39% of the dissatisfied women claims that they had tried dieting within the past year or 5 years, which shows that the women that were more okay with their body were less likely to diet. And a lot of times when you become so consumed with maybe having excess weight that it can sometimes lead to trendy diets, extreme diets that end up not helping at
so
all.
So in addition, the women who were satisfied,
yes,
exercised 5 hours a week.
Yes.
And the others, people don't exercise 3 hours a week in general. Do they count walking and all the other stuff, or how did they get?
I don't know.
We'll find out later, and
we'll
report next week.
But
so, wait, go ahead. Last words on this study. We've done too much on it already.
The tips to feel better about your body image in general are to focus more on being healthy rather than on dieting, because it can create more sustainable, lifelong lifestyle choices. So eating a variety of healthy foods, finding healthy foods that you like instead of starving yourself, because sometimes when you starve yourself, your body tends to hold on to more calories and you expend less. Getting enough sleep is key, and Dr. Roizen's going to talk about that a little later for other reasons.
So getting enough sleep so you don't eat a lot of sugar, that's key. The second one was
eating a variety of foods and not starving yourself, because then you tend to expend less energy. Exercising, walking 10,000 steps a day, as Dr. Roizen always recommends. Wearing clothes that fit so you still feel good about yourself and your body. And watching more foreign movies and avoiding fashion magazines.
Now, foreign movies?
Because foreign movies, they from France and Japan.
I actually found this interesting.
I did too. So they have older women in the movies than you see in the U.S. movies, and the women also tend to be fuller, curvier than the skinny actresses that are usually the stars of the United States movies. And then also to avoid fashion magazines, because most of the time the trends and the style are targeted at a younger age group that are skimpier clothes a lot of times and won't make women feel good about themselves.
Now, we did that study on the Ad Omega segment before.
Yes.
On glucose, higher glucose in non-diabetics associated with smaller hippocampuses and worse memory in the elderly being, if you will, in that study, 60 and above. Another study that actually linked something to Alzheimer's disease or memory failure was less sleep. And this was two studies. One from the Baltimore Longitudinal Aging Group out of Hopkins, which showed that people, they just looked at people who got less sleep over time, and those people developed more memory dysfunction and more signs of Alzheimer's proteins in their brain. The other one was a very interesting study. It was an animal study showing, and then a human study follow-up, showing that actually you clear the protein associated with Alzheimer's during sleep. The brain doesn't have lymphatics. Lymphatics are normally parts of your body's circulatory system that take waste back to your circulation so it can get rid of it. It pumps it to the liver and kidney, and then it gets rid of it after it comes back in the lymph. Well, the brain doesn't have any lymph. But what they found is it opens up, if you will, communication or circulatory portions in sleep that get rid of your waste. So sleep is needed to get rid of waste. The more you sleep, the more or higher percentage of waste you get rid of. And then getting rid of this Alzheimer's protein waste causes, means you have less inflammation in your brain, less memory dysfunction. So that's what, so excess sleep, good because you don't need as much sugar, good because you get rid of bad stuff in the brain. We'll call that the well beyond wellness segment. So how much sleep do you get? And kids in school don't get enough sleep, right?
Oh, yeah, I would say that that's pretty common. I used to, when I was in undergrad, probably my first 2 years, I would cram study the night before. I'm kind of a last minute person in general. And I found that I was unsuccessful with that. So I changed my approach to sleeping more always the night before an exam. Even if I don't know all the material, I think that I tend to do better. Even if I don't know all the material, if I sleep.
Well, in sleep, you actually cement memories. So that's probably true.
Well, and I think that then I have better critical thinking skills when I'm in the exam. So even if I don't know something, I'm better able to at least wing something and come up with a rational explanation for or justification for my response. So definitely, I think that that's a huge problem with kids in school.
And so not getting enough sleep is also a huge problem. How much sleep? Your roommate is a medical student now. How much sleep does she get?
I'd say probably 7 to 8 hours.
Oh, so she's getting an awful lot compared to what we got.
We go to bed really early, and then we wake up really early. But it works well. And she doesn't cram at all. She reviews all of her lectures the day after the class so that she knows everything. So she doesn't get super stressed around exam times, which is, it works well for her.
Okay. We'll do another, I think we can get, I'm not sure we can get another one in, but let's talk about TV fast food advertising.
Oh my God, I loved this study. So they looked at over 2,000 United States youth and then saw whether there was a correlation between their ability to identify different fast food advertisements and their obesity. So they found, and then based on the questions that they asked them for if they could recognize 20 different advertisements, they assigned a scale of points. For every 1 point increase in TV food advertising receptivity scores, they found that the odds of obesity increased by 19%.
So what this means is, whether you're obese, you recognize the ads, or whether it is recognizing the ads causes obesity, we don't know.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with the Tick Guy. All your questions about ticks, and we got a ton of them to ask from you. Keep sending them to us, UDOC, UDOCS.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm here with Bridget, and we have a special guest, the Tick Guy. That's right, Dr. Thomas Mather, M-A-T-H-E-R, whose website is tickencounter.org, www.tickencounter.org. Is the Tick Guy. He's at the University of Rhode Island, which puts him, is Rhode Island the epicenter of tick encounters?
Well, I have to say, when it comes to black-legged ticks, we're right in the thick of it. I just came out of the woods just right now with about 250 adult deer ticks.
Wow.
That you collected or that just
yes.
happened to come on you?
No, I did it on purpose. I wouldn't recommend anyone doing that at home, though.
Wow. 250. I'm afraid of the first one. So if you see me go out in the woods in a tick area, my sister lives in Poughkeepsie, New York, and whenever we go out on a hike, even in a benign place, you know, I am so protected, you know, my socks are over my outer clothes, et cetera. So double socks and double protection and DDT on, et cetera, that you couldn't identify, that if a tick got on me, they would be amazed at how tough it was to penetrate. Anyway, you're in Rhode Island, and one of the questions was, are ticks in Alaska or in the wood areas up there, or do they just get too cold?
Well, I do think they have some types of ticks there. I'm not sure that they have black-legged ticks. That may be one place that I know that they're moving up across the portion from Washington State across British Columbia. Definitely they're starting to see black-legged ticks, especially along the coast. I don't know that cold is the issue for these ticks. I think drying out is very much more important. There are some species of ticks, like the more common American dog ticks, that can withstand drier conditions, but the black-legged tick, the one that transmits Lyme disease both on the east and the west, really doesn't like dry conditions. It pretty much succumbs when the humidity in their natural settings is a little too low.
Well, we also have a question from someone for you who lives in Vermont, and the question is from Matten, is how long is the season for ticks? Does it last throughout? Do ticks survive the frozen winter? Where do they survive it? You had a really nice piece on the website on this, so I know part of the answer at least. But where do they survive it, and how do you protect yourself from them surviving it?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And people, the main piece, everyone thinks the summer is the time for ticks, and then when there's the first frost, which we probably had in Rhode Island last night, they think, oh, everything will be dead, no more mosquitoes, yay, we can, you know, no more ticks. And they're shocked when they take their first hike out in the woods and they're covered by these black-legged tick adults. These ticks, that's when they come out. So that it's just their season. It's nothing new. It's been happening for, you know, decades, but people haven't really been paying that much attention, and these ticks have become far more abundant in more places as well. And so they seem to be surprised, and it's, you know, October, November, into early December in southern New England and further south, the Mid-Atlantic and so forth, is these ticks' prime season. Then it does get too cold for them to move. They're cold-blooded animals, just like frogs, and they need a little energy in order to muster their leg movement. So they kind of just sit there in the leaf litter, where you know, the edges of the people's yards, in the forests, etc. And on any warm day, when there's enough, you know, energy for them to move, they will be looking for a host. So it usually catches people by surprise, maybe not as often in Vermont, but certainly in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Connecticut, New York. When you get a January thaw, these ticks are right out there, and if you've, you know, kind of let down your guard, you're certainly going to be surprised.
So is that something that when they get on you that you might not necessarily be able to feel?
Yeah, the ticks are, you know, their whole way is to be sneaky. You know, mosquitoes, you kind of hear them coming, and then they have that painful bite. But ticks don't have wings, and so when they get on a host, they can't screw up. And by that I mean they don't want the host to know that they're there. So they're like little stealth biters. They climb up. When they bite, they tend not to. They have a pain-killing chemicals in their saliva, so you don't feel them, and they stay attached. The adult stage stays attached for 6 or 7 days, and so they certainly don't want to alert you. So they actually have this very interesting feeding mechanism where they sort of set up the whole feeding site for most of those days, and in the last 12 or 15 hours, they do what we call the big sip, and they just, that's when they get all big and blown up, like gross, like people see on their pets. But all of that takes place in the last, you know, half day or so, just so that they don't get groomed off, because if they don't capture that much blood, they can't reproduce.
Now, but when is it that they inject the Lyme bacteria, the Lyme spirochete?
Yeah, so they can do that after they've been attached for probably over just a little over 36 hours.
So as long as you inspect pretty carefully in that first day, whether you're taking a shower after the woods or whatever, and use the tweezer and get it out and wash with alcohol, you're pretty okay?
Yeah, generally speaking, against Lyme disease and anaplasmosis and babesiosis, these are three serious infections that these ticks transmit. Now, the black-legged ticks are also transmitting other infections. One's a virus called deer tick virus. There have been a few cases, especially in New Jersey and New York area this past year or two, and that's probably transmitted right away. So it's always a good idea to prevent being bitten if you can.
Now, so obviously prevent it, and there is special clothing that you prevent it. My sister taught me about wearing two layers of socks, thick socks, put DDT on the outer one, and cover up and put them so that they're over your overalls, so that the deer tick, what I understand is it doesn't fly to you, it has to crawl to you, right?
Correct. It crawls up from the ground. And, you know, people always said, every women's magazine or newspaper article always said, tuck your pants into your socks. But, Dr. Mike, you may be one of the few people willing to do that. Most people don't like that look.
It's not a great look.
Let me just tell you, there's a far easier way to do it. Several sporting clothes makers have a line of permethrin-treated clothes, and they're all treated by the same company located in Greensboro, North Carolina, called Insect Shield. Insect Shield, and you can find this information on our website or from Insect Shield. But they will treat your own clothes. So if you have special clothes, if you're a gardener, if you're a golfer and you like to chase your balls when you hook your slice, you can have your own clothes treated, socks, shorts, pants, shirt, and it will go through the wash 70 times and still be effective against these ticks.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Tom Mather, the tick guy at tickencounter.org, tickencounter.org. We'll also ask a series of questions of, for example, why haven't they come to Ohio or Iowa? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Tom Mather, M-A-T-H-E-R, Tick and
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission,
to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We've got a wonderful guest with us, Dr. Tom Mather, M-A-T-H-E-R. He's also known as the Tick Guy. He is the Tick Encounter Resource Center's director and researches tick ecology, which is how to control ticks, where they are. He was out getting 250 of them today to study. Don't do it at home. If you want to find out more, go to www.tickencounter.org. When we went away, we were asking this, we've got a number of questions that are all about the same, is why haven't they come to Iowa? Why haven't they come to Ohio? And one of the things you said off the air, if you will, which was discouraging for me to hear, is give them time.
Yeah, I think that the way these ticks really move around sort of in mass transit mode is on birds. And so they can move along flyways quicker. So, for instance, that's why they went straight up the Hudson River Valley and are now, you know, moving into more and more places along the Great Lakes. And then they follow, you know, birds follow riverways as they migrate, and I think that they drop ticks off as they're going.
Wow.
And the tick just finds the deer, and so you've got to have deer as the natural host. But one of the things I learned from your website was something strange. I didn't know that you're unlikely to find them in the middle of the lawn. They're more likely to be in wood piles and, if you will, dark shaded areas in, if you will, forests or tree gatherings.
Right, so it's all about for these ticks, it's all about maintaining their internal body moisture. And if they're exposed, where the humidity in their close environment is too low, they sort of leak their internal body moisture out and they can't replenish it. So they really have to position themselves in humid areas. And that humidity threshold we've actually determined is 82%. They can withstand sub 82% humidity for 8 hours, but if it goes on much longer than that, they just start to die. So that's one reason that if they come in on your pets in your house, they will not survive very long because the humidity is much lower than that.
So we keep, obviously, you keep your home humidity, whatever it is, 40 or 50%.
Correct.
So they don't survive that for very long. Now, they somehow go to a wood pile, and one of the tricks you said was to, in fact, if you want to play in your lawn, is to put a kind of a wood pile on the side of your lawn between your lawn and trees.
That's a wood chip border is what we were talking about there. So, you know, the World Series is going on now. Sorry, the Cleveland Indians didn't make it. But, you know, there's a warning track between the outfield and the wall. And that's what this wood border does. The humidity, actually, if it's shady, would probably stay high enough for these ticks in that border. But it reminds you that generally the open lawn is your safe area. And if you cross that wood chip border next to the edge of your if there's any wooded area next to the edge of your lawn, then you're moving from safe to more dangerous, tick-dangerous areas.
So it also
provides a nice target for if you're using insecticides to kill ticks. You can start right at that border and into the woods. That's where the ticks are.
So, again, someone asked us, what's the name of the safety clothing? And it's insectshield.com. Is that right?
Yep.
insectshield.com, and the overall website is tickencounter.org. We should ask at least one more question, and that is, someone said that he had heard on a radio station an easy mnemonic, an easy memory phrase, what you should do to protect yourself from tick infections, and it was something like protect ticks or something, or ticks.
Well, so years ago, we had a TICK, Think, Tick, Take Action, as a tool. So everyone should have a pointy tweezer for safe tick removal. That's the T. Everyone should do a daily tick check. That's inspect for I. C is all about that clothing repellent. That's the most effective way to repel ticks, is to have repellent in your clothes. And K for in tick was to just kill the critters with safe pesticides around your yard, because for black-legged ticks and Lyme disease, most cases of Lyme disease come from around the household, the yard infested with ticks.
Is there a way of immunizing pets or deer against the ticks?
Now, that's a good question. There is a vaccine against Lyme disease for dogs, but not for people. They did have one for people, but it was removed from the market back in about 2002 or 3. But the one for dogs is fairly effective. For deer, there are strategies that have been worked on. We've worked on it under a few different grants, that you can treat the deer, you can attract them into there's a device that you can attract them into feed, and then they treat themselves with insecticide. At certain times of the year, when the adult ticks are feeding on them, that's the reproductive stage, you can actually target your treatment so that you can kill those that would be reproducing on the deer. So it was found to be pretty effective, but it's also a little bit labor-intensive and kind of expensive to use under widespread. Maybe it would be good for camps or towns where it's heavily infested or something, but there has been some interest in that in some communities.
One last question. Someone got Lyme disease and said they had to have a pacemaker. Is that possible to get inflammation of the heart or a pacemaker relating to that?
It's an electrical conductivity issue. The infection can affect electrical conductivity in the heart nerves. And perfectly healthy, even young, not people with heart disease or anything, can end up with significant arrhythmias. And, they get a pacemaker, and it, you know, what they might have done is just go on therapy for Lyme disease and everything would have resolved as well.
And we're going to quickly go and thank Dr. Thomas Mather, www.tickencounter.org. And now the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this is a quick one, our new UDocs newsflash. If you don't get a certain amount of protein each day, especially in the morning, your appetite shifts into snack attack mode. Not only do you overeat, but you eat high-calorie, high-fat, high-sugar snacks. Hunger and cravings are your enemy. Feeling full and content, your allies. So morning protein and fiber, they're your secret weapons. The trick, get about a gram of protein for every kilogram of weight, or divide your weight in pounds by two, and that's the amount of protein you need a day. This is UDocs. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good tasting and all natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.